I invite you to join me on our knees to seek the Lord this morning. Lord, we approach your throne here this morning, bowing ourselves before you because you are worthy. Lord, thank you for the precious blood of Jesus that has made us clean and white. Thank you, Lord, for taking away our sins. Thank you, Father, that you have made that way of salvation possible for each and every soul that's in these walls and each and every soul that's outside these walls. You have made salvation available to mankind, Lord, through that precious blood that was shed. Thank you for that this morning. We just want to give you honor and praise that's due unto your name, Lord, and exalt your name this morning. Thank you, Father, that when we were in that miry pit of sin and that when we called out to you in repentance and you, Lord, you lifted us out of that miry clay. You heard our prayer, Lord, even as we sang, Lord, that hear our cry, O God, attend unto our prayer, Lord. And we just thank you this morning that we have the blessed hope, Lord, in you that you do hear and understand us, Lord. And so we pray this morning that you would also break the bread of life to us, Lord. I pray for the anointing of your Spirit upon the preaching of the word, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you would give clarity to the message. I pray that you would take the Spirit of God and cause the things that are heard, Lord, to be just what you want us to hear, Lord. So, Father, we just open our hearts to you. Use us. Use me, Lord, as a vessel in your hand. And, Lord, just pray that we might all partake of these things together in such a way, Lord, that we could all be edified and built up and strengthened in the faith, Lord. Lord, we look forward to that day when you'll break the clouds and you'll be coming back, Lord, for your children, Lord. And, Lord, we look forward to hearing you and to be standing in your presence, Lord, and truly give you the honor due to your name. May your name be praised, Lord, this morning. We just look to you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for that singing this morning. It was a joy, blessing to worship the Lord together that way. And a little foretaste of heaven, heaven on earth, to worship the Lord that way and lifting up his name. I greet you in Jesus' name this morning and looking forward to see what the Lord has for us this morning. And the few little thoughts that I have, I trust that he'll expand those to meeting our needs and encouraging our hearts this morning. That's my desire, to be a blessing and an encouragement to each one of you. And I know that when our hearts are open to the Lord, he does that. He does that for us. And I wasn't sure where I was going to go with this, with the message. And I was pondering some different thoughts throughout the week. And it just seemed like the Lord just brought these thoughts back to me again. And last time we looked at God's eyes, and I shared the message on thou God seest me, and how God looks upon us, and he sees both the good and the evil, and his eye is upon the righteous. And we talked about various different aspects of that. And this morning I'd like to talk about God's ears, and I'll just write that up here. I know it's kind of a different subject maybe, but I'm glad that the Bible speaks about these things, gives us a better understanding about who God is. And maybe it's speaking in our terms, in our language. I don't know if we all were ants, how that would come across, you know, if we If we were an ant, maybe we would have to speak the ant's language to be able to communicate with the ant. And in a sense, maybe that's what he's doing in the Word of God. And I'm not trying to bring God down to us in such a fashion that he's just like us. That's not what I'm saying here in giving these messages about God and who he is and God's eyes and now his ears. And we might have a few more of those things coming. But, you know, I'm not trying to bring God down to us, but rather God has given us some things to help us to connect with who he is and how he wants us to live and how he's there for us, if I could say it that way, how he's there for us. And in this message, I think we'll see that very much as the heart of God, that his ears are there for us. I'd like to ask the children a question here this morning. And all of you children, if you would please put your hand up here to your ears. Could you do that? All right. Could you touch your ears? Now, what do those little things here do? Somebody tell me. What do your ears do? Nobody knows? Back here, yes, they hear. Yeah, your ears hear. That's what God put these things on the side of your ear, your head for. And sometimes I like to think about that. You know, why did God put them there? Why didn't he put them somewhere else, you know? And God knew just what he was doing when he put our ears on the side of our head. And so it's an amazing thing. The ear is an amazing thing. Really, really is. And I don't even claim to understand it. I almost gave Brother Wolf a call to see if he would give me some input here this morning, maybe even just come up and explain how the ear works. And maybe he could still do that. I don't know. But I'm going to try to, in my little puny understanding of how the ear works, maybe give a few little glimpses into how it works, and if I'm wrong, you can correct me. I'm very happy for that. Just how the ear actually functions, but it is quite an amazing thing. The ear is. I once saw a man, or knew a man actually, that he had lost one ear through an accident. He had lost his ear, and all he had was just a little hole there and a little stubby out around his ear. So it really, you know, he didn't look very, quote, nice, you know, to look at. There's something about our ears that actually kind of gives us a nice appearance, I think. And it's amazing because every ear is different. Your ear is not the same as mine. And some people have real small ears. Some people have real long ears. And some people, when I was a little boy, I was always teased in school because I looked kind of like a monkey because my ears were sticking out. Now, somehow, after I was matured a little bit physically, I don't know, I don't think about it as much, and I haven't heard it. So it must be okay now that they're not sticking out like they used to. But and that's okay. You know, you can't really change that appearance. But it's kind of interesting, ears. And if you just start studying people's ears, it's kind of an interesting study, I guess, of the ears. But I also read a book one time about a man who was in a plane crash. He was a pilot, and he was in a plane crash, and the plane caught fire, and he miraculously found his way out of the fire. Crawled out of the fire. He was conscious, but he lost both his ears in the process. They got burnt, and he lost both of his ears. And he had pictures of him, and it wasn't a very pretty sight. So even though ears come in a different sizes and shapes, their function is the same. Their function is to hear, like was shared. The function is to hear, and so I'd just like to show you a little picture here about ears as we think about God's ears. And this isn't God's ear, but this is just a picture of the human ear. and some of the parts of the human ear. And I should have had it in color. My printer doesn't print very well in color right now, so I just have it in black and white. But here's the outer ear, and what we know as the ear, what we can hear and what we see here. And then that's called the outer ear. And then there's called the middle ear, which is on the inside. Sometimes when you go to the doctor, he'll want to take his little instrument and look through this little glass and a light, you know, and he can look into your ear to see if you have an ear infection or some problem, maybe ear wax buildup. And so, in fact, that wax, you know, it's kind of gross, you know, I'll leave the rest of that. Anyway, there was something else I was going to say, but I think I'll leave that. The earwax is actually a good thing because it actually helps protect the inner ear, or the ear actually, the middle ear, from some infections and things that can hurt your ear. I was reading some of that in some of that anyway, but too much isn't good either. You can lose your hearing somewhat through too much wax buildup. Anyway, then you have the inner ear, which is in behind the eardrum. And this inner ear looks a little bit like a snail. The tube is curled up, and I understand there's fluids in here. And inside that inner ear, there's also these tiny little hair that are in there. And those little tiny hair have a purpose in what they do. So this is the inner ear. Now, there's something also that we haven't talked about that the ear does or has built in. And amazingly so, there are some other little tubes with fluids in them that everybody put your head to the side once. All right, very good. Other side. All right. Now, if you were standing up like I am, now you're sitting down, so you don't think about it, but there's these little tubes in here with fluid in there, and they also have little hair and sensors that when you tip your head sideways, your body knows immediately that you're tipped sideways, and it knows which side, and which side is the other. And so balance is affected by this little gadget in here that God built in us to keep our balance. Now, when you have fluid, like in a glass, and you take the fluid, I probably will spill the water, but if I start spinning this like this, see, I'm spilling. But anyway, and then if I hold still, that fluid still continues to go in circles. And that's what happens in your mind, or in this little tube in here. When you go around on a merry-go-round, and you go around and around and around and around, or you turn around, you know, like this, you know, close your eyes, children like to do that, or roll down the hill sometimes, you know, that fluid starts spinning around, and you stand up, and you can hardly walk, and it's because those hair, you know, things are still going in circles inside, right? That's called dizziness, right? All right, it has to do with your ears. Anyway, I'll just keep that handy. So we have the outer ear, which catches the sound wave. You know, we speak or we hear something, and it's actually a sound wave coming to your ear. And then we have the middle ear that takes those waves and that's a good reason why God gives us ears, you know, that stick out a little bit. They catch the sound. And then that wave of sound goes into your ear through the middle ear, and it hits your eardrum, and your eardrum is like a little hammer, and it does some tapping. I'm not sure how this is all supposed to work, but anyway, somehow it has to translate from waves into something else, and that's what it does in your middle ear. The middle ear takes the waves, and it changes them to vibrations that go into the third section, which is the inner ear. And these little vibrations, it's just like when you maybe in a pond you throw a pebble in the water and there's these little ripples. Well, this is a little bit how it works. in the ear, you have this little vibration going on, and those little hair that I was telling you about that are right here in this inner ear pick up those little vibrations, that little movement, and it sends a signal into your head, into your brain, and it tells you exactly what was said. That's why you're understanding what I'm saying. Isn't that amazing? Isn't the ear an amazing thing that God created? And I welcome your input, Brother Wolf, if there's other things that we're missing out here on, and maybe some clarification or corrections, that's perfectly fine. So anyway, so your brain puts all this together, and there it is. You've heard what was said. And it's an amazing thing that happens. Well, God made our ears, didn't he? God made our ears. And not only that, the Bible talks about God's ears. And that's what we'd like to talk about this morning. What if God couldn't hear? What if God couldn't hear? We would be in big trouble. We would be in big trouble if God couldn't hear. There was, in the Bible, in the Old Testament, there was a situation one time where Elijah took 400 prophets of Baal to Mount Carmel, and there they were going to prove who is the true gods. And do you remember how that story went? Elijah gave the prophets of Baal first chance, you know, and the whole demonstration was supposed to end up that whichever God sends fire down from heaven to consume the sacrifice, that was the true God. Well, Elijah knew who the true God was. The 400 prophets of Baal, he gave them the chance to first prove to see if their God was the true God. And if you remember, Elijah just, you know, he was kind of mocking them as they were crying and cutting themselves and getting desperate, you know, to Baal, that Baal would somehow send this fire down and so on. And we know that story, right? But one of the things that Elijah said about this prophet of Baal, these prophets of Baal, said, well, you might need to cry a little louder. Maybe he's sleeping. Maybe he's on a journey. Maybe he's this or that, you know. He's not hearing you. And it didn't take long when Elijah prayed, did it? God heard him and sent the fire from heaven. We'd all be in trouble if God couldn't hear. What would it be like to pray to an idol? Well, we have a little illustration of that. Not in an illustration. We have some facts about that. In Psalm 115, verse 5 and 6, it says about idols, and this would include Baal, they have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. They have noses, but they smell not. But our God has ears which hear. You know, as we get older, our hearing deteriorates a bit. Is that right, Joe? Yeah, as we get older, things begin to wear out, and we don't hear as well as we used to hear. And thankfully, we have some of these little devices you can hang behind the ear, you know, and something to help magnify the sound waves coming in. And so that's a good thing for us in some ways. It's man-made, and it doesn't quite work the same maybe as how God made it initially, but thankfully, we have something that at least improves that a bit. And so I'm blessed with that. But, you know, God, how old is God? See, he doesn't have any beginning, does he? So we don't know. We have beginnings and endings, but we don't know how old God is. But we understand from God's word that he always was. So he must be really old, right? He must be really, really old. Do you think his hearing has diminished any yet? Not at all. It's as sharp as it was from the beginning. From the very beginning that he created the world, if we could say it from that point. But he always was. God has very good hearing, and he can hear even the faintest cry. God can hear even the faintest cry. We have a song that talks about that, how God hears even the faintest cry. I want to just think here this morning about some examples, times when God heard. All right, we're talking about God's ears this morning, and the time when God heard. There was some kind of waves that God heard, and we want to think about some of those things this morning. And we'll not nearly touch them all because it's all over in the Bible. It's all over in the Bible how God hears. But we want to just highlight a few of them. One of them is found in Genesis 18, verse 21. This was speaking of God here. And if we know the account, I believe he was talking there with Abraham. But in Genesis 18, 21, he says, "I will go down now and see whether they have done," and he's talking actually about Sodom, is what he's talking about. And this was when Abraham then was visited by these, these angels that came. He says, "I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come up unto me. If not, I will know." And I'm just kind of using little verses here and there that speak of this. And so here, the wickedness of Sodom had come up into the ears, into God's ears. And he said, "I'm going to go down and check this out to see if it's really as bad as this sound is coming to my ear." Wow, God was hearing, wasn't he? He was hearing. When the children of Israel were in Egypt, they had been taken down into Egypt, or Joseph had brought his father down into Egypt when he was still ruler. And then as time went on, the children of Israel became slaves to the pharaohs there in Egypt. And it just became worse, it seemed, as each pharaoh came along and had forgotten who Joseph was and what Joseph had done for Egypt and all of that, and they forgot about Joseph. And these rulers then took the children of Israel and made them slaves and made them to build cities and build bricks. And finally, it even came down to where they had to gather their own straw to make the bricks. And they had slave drivers that would whip them and so forth. And here we have it in Exodus 2, verse 23 through 25. "Came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage. And they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of bondage. And God heard their groaning. And God remembered his covenant with Abraham and with Isaac and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them." Here was another time, an instance when God heard. And it was this time it was the children of Israel. And God had made a promise with Abraham. And so this bondage and this cry of the children of Israel, this came into the ears of God's. And God heard their cry, and he heard their groaning. And also, after we know the story a bit, how that all went, and how that God ordained Moses to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt and so forth. And as that was going on, God also came and he gave the children of Israel some guidelines after they were to leave Egypt behind. God gave them some guidelines. And in one of those guidelines, here's what it says in Exodus 22, verse 22 through 24. He says, "Ye shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. If thou afflict them in any wise, and they cry at all unto me, I will surely hear their cry, and my wrath shall wax hot. And I will kill you with the sword, and your wives shall be widows, and your children fatherless. Wow, what a thing there. But and I think God is still jealous of that today. God is still jealous of that today, that the widow and the fatherless are not like he says here, afflicted in any wise, or that we would not put more affliction on what they already experienced, but rather that we're there for them, that we encourage them. And James would tell us that this is true religion, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. And so God is very jealous about that. And he says, if they would cry at all to me, if you afflict a widow or a fatherless, and they cry at all to God about it, you are in trouble. You are in trouble. I just leave it as simple as that, because I think that's how it is. And that's how God still views it today. But there, their cry came to the Lord. God's ears, they heard this cry. We have also in, King David, he cried many times to the Lord before he was king, and how he was running from Saul to because Saul was jealous of David, and Saul also knew that he had lost the kingdom, and that David was going to reign in his stead. And so Saul was hard after David, even though David really hadn't done anything wrong, and so forth. And David wasn't even trying to push himself forward in any wise, but God had removed the kingdom from Saul because of his disobedience and so forth. But David, he cried many times to the Lord, and it's all the way throughout the book of Psalms, through the songs that David wrote. Many times we find that David cried to the Lord, and when he was running from Saul, as well as also the many battles that David fought, he would call to the Lord. Let's turn to one in 2 Samuel. In 2 Samuel 22. I'll just look at that one just and read a number of verses right there. In 2 Samuel 22, verse 1, "And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, the God of my rock. In him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. I will call on the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. When the waves of death compassed me, the floods of ungodly men have made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me." Verse 7 says, "In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried to my God, and he did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter into his ears." Isn't that an encouragement for us as well? In Psalm 34, verse 17, it says, "The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles." Psalm 5, verse 2 and 3 says, "Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up." All speaking about God hearing us, hearing our voice. In the latter end of Samuel's day, Samuel was a judge to the king, or to the children of Israel, and that was before they had a king. In the earlier days of the children of Israel, they had judges, and Samuel was the last judge that the children of Israel had, because as he was getting older, it says that Samuel made his sons to be judges over the children of Israel, and things were not going well. His sons were not walking in the same path that Samuel had walked in, and it was causing difficulties and hardships for the children of Israel, and it wasn't good. And the children of Israel came to Samuel toward the end of his days, and they asked for a king. And part of that was because they were looking at the other nations and said, "We want to be like the other nations. We want to have a king to judge us." And Samuel was displeased with that, and he brought it to God. And God told Samuel, he said, "You go ahead and start working on that. Do that. Make them a king. That's what they're asking for." He said, "They're not rejecting you, Samuel. They're rejecting me, because I'm their king. I really am their judge, and I'm their king. But somehow they want another king." But God said to Samuel, he said, "You go back and you tell them, you tell the children of Israel that what this king's going to require of them, and all the cons of having a king over them, and you tell them what's going to happen." He used these words. God used these words to Samuel. He said that he was to go back and protest solemnly. He was to protest solemnly to the children of Israel about their request to have a king. But they, again, just insisted that they want a king. And so in 1 Samuel 8, verse 21, Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord. Samuel rehearsed all that the people were saying into the ears of the Lord. I don't know what that speaks to you, but that's encouraging to me, because we all have things that we're working through, and things that are challenges for us, things that we're not sure what to do with. Let's rehearse them in the ears of the Lord. That's what I want to encourage us about God's ears. God wants to hear it. You say, "Well, God already knows." Yes, He does. He already knows in His infinite wisdom and knowledge. He already knows all about us. He knows our thoughts before we even think them, and so forth. But God wants to use His ears to hear what His children are struggling with. We heard about Daniel this morning, and in Daniel chapter 2, it was mentioned already. Brother Joe mentioned that Daniel, there was a time there when King Nebuchadnezzar dreamed this dream, and he forgot what he had dreamed. And it was kind of a problem, because this dream in chapter 2, verse 1 in Daniel, he says that Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams wherewith his spirit was troubled and his sleep break from him. He couldn't sleep because of it. And then the king commanded all the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans for to show the king his dreams. And so they came and stood before the king, and the king said to them, "I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream." Then spake the Chaldeans to the king of Syria, "O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation." The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, "The thing is gone from me. If ye will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretation thereof, ye shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be a dunghill. But if ye show the dream and the interpretation thereof, ye shall receive my gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and the interpretation thereof." They answered again and said, "Let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation of it." And the king answered and said, "I know of certainty that ye would gain the time, because ye see the thing is gone from me. But if ye will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one degree for you, for ye have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me till the time be changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that ye can show me the interpretation thereof." And the story goes on here, and And then the captain shows up there where Daniel was kept and his three friends and tells Daniel the predicament that the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the magicians, and what Nebuchadnezzar was requiring of them. He said, This is absurd. This is ridiculous. I mean, there's nobody that can do this. And so the doom was set. The doom was set for all these men to be killed and slaughtered because they couldn't tell the dream. And Daniel says in verse 16, then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. And then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, which I think were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that they would desire mercies. Look in verse 18, he says that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, and that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. And we know how they sought God, and they prayed. They asked God, we're in a predicament. And God heard their prayer. And he gave Daniel, not only did he give him the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had, but he also showed him the interpretation of that dream. And it was a complete miracle. But God heard. That's what I want to emphasize. They were in a very big predicament, but God heard. God heard it. It says they desired mercies of the God of heaven. In the New Testament, there was the situation when Lazarus got sick and died. And they were having the viewing or the funeral or however they had it back then. And they had already buried him. Obviously, they didn't have the means today that we have to maintain a body for a number of days. So they buried usually within the 24 hours, and so forth. And so he was buried, and he had been buried for already 3 days. Or was it 4 days? 4 days. That he was buried. And Jesus finally comes after he had been called and so forth. And then we know the story how Jesus came to the tomb of Lazarus. And he told them to roll away the stone. And Martha was like, no, I mean, it's already stinking, by this time. And she just wasn't very thrilled about that idea for some reason or another. But Jesus, they rolled the stone away. And then Jesus says these words. Says, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said that they might believe that thou hast sent me. So Jesus wouldn't have had to even address God in that way. He could have just said, Lazarus, come forth. And I believe Lazarus would have come right out of that tomb. But because of the people, Jesus, he lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. Are you thankful that God hears you? How would it be to pray to a dead idol that has ears but can't hear? It'd be a problem, wouldn't it? But we have a God who has ears and he hears. And Jesus said, I thank thee that thou hearest me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. Well, those are just a few times that we find, and there's many, many more that we haven't touched. Just times that we see that God heard, that God heard. There's many other times, and maybe you can think of some yourself, of things that are recorded in God's Word that it's clear that God heard. There's many of those situations. And let's bring it even closer to us today. What about the times when you've called out to God and you know God heard you? Isn't that amazing? God has ears and He heard. And He answered. I marvel at that. Peter, when he was there and he was in his boldness and courage, I guess. He was very courageous there with the disciples. They were in the boat, you know, and here's Jesus walking on the water, and they think it's a ghost, and they cry out in fear, and then Jesus says, "Don't be afraid, it's I. You know, it's me out here walking on this water to you." And Peter, in his boldness and courage, says, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come." And he gets out of the boat and he starts walking on the water, just like Jesus was doing. But then he looks around and he sees the waves, just like you and I do, and he begins to sink. And he calls out to the one who could save him, "Lord, save me." It's just some simple words. And sometimes we've used those words, haven't we, in our own situations that we are faced with when we feel like we're sinking. "Lord, save me." And God answers our prayer and He reaches out and helps us. I remember a few of those helpless feelings at times, you know, when you're maybe driving on a slippery road and all of a sudden you're out of control and there's nothing you can do. It just seems like everything's going to go wrong. And you crawl out to the Lord in just a few simple words, and God just, and you go straight down the road again. Isn't that amazing? God does those kind of things. You know, sometimes He lets the accident happen, but many times if we call out to the Lord in those little times of distress, God's right there. He's right there, and He hears us. I thought of a different illustration also about God hearing us. It says that for every idle word that a man may speak, he was going to give an account for on the day of judgment. Does that also mean that God hears us? It does, doesn't it? It's in a little different fashion and form, but it also means that God hears every word that we speak. Now I'd like to just turn the message just slightly, and we want to just think about what does it take for God to hear us? What does it take for God to hear us? And I'm not sure if that's the right way to say it, but here's some of the thoughts that I'm thinking about. First of all, who am I? Who am I that God would even pay any attention to us? David, in the book of Psalms, he says something about, "I am but a worm in His sight." You know, I'm just but a worm. You know, who are we that when we would talk to God, God would even bend His ear to listen? I mean, what is it? What is it that God would even bend His ear to listen to us? Who are we? And yet He does. I want you to bear that in mind, that it's really a privilege that God hears, that God has ears and they're bent to hear us, especially as His children. In Psalm 145, verse 18 and 19, "The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon Him." Now, if we're going to have God hear us, we're going to have to call on Him. You can sit here and you can be processing all this morning and wow, this is just a lot of good information and so on, and go home and it does nothing for you. But when you call on the Lord, it does something for us, doesn't it? "The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon Him, to all that call upon Him in truth," He says. To all that call upon Him in truth. We're looking at this question, what does it take for God to hear us? Well, there's a part of it that when we call upon God in truth, He hears us. And so now we can put ourselves in a little box sometimes and think, well, somehow God's not hearing me because must be I'm not calling upon Him in truth, or I haven't done it to perfection, or I haven't done it to this amount of, you know, and we kind of put this standard up here that we have to reach this standard before God hears us. That's not what I'm saying at all. But just simply out of the genuine, sincere heart, that's truth. Just out of our sincere heart, we talk to God. God, help me today. I need you today. I need you in this situation. Here's what I'm faced with. And we just talk to God that way. That's talking to God in truth. And He hears us. He goes on to say, and He will fulfill the desire of them that fear Him. He's still talking about us calling on Him in truth. And He says, He will fulfill the desire of them that fear Him. There's something about fearing God also that opens up His ears. When we fear God, when we have a proper respect and honor towards God in our own hearts, it opens up His ears to us. And He hears. He hears our prayers. It says, He also will hear their cry and will save them. So what does it take for God to hear us? Well, first we need to call upon Him. We need to call upon Him in truth. We need to fear Him. And it says, and He also will hear their cry and will save them. Here's another nugget of truth that I find here in Psalm 40, verse 1. I'm going to turn over there to that. In Psalm 40, verse 1, he says this. It says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. I waited patiently for the Lord. You know, there's an aspect in this God's ears and in Him hearing. I was reminded of this. I'm kind of sidetracking here a little bit, but it's to give you, to make a point. And that is sometimes our children is like, Dad, you know. And they come up and they tap us, you know. It's like, you know, Dad. And we're sometimes so preoccupied that as dads maybe or moms, you know, and they just, you know how it is, children? I think we've all done that probably in our growing up years sometime or another. And here he says that I waited patiently for the Lord. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. I know we've endeavored to teach our children that it's okay to call on Dad. It's okay to call on Mom. But there's a measure of patience that they need also, right? A measure of patience and being patient till we can give them our full attention. Sometimes we have our attention somewhere else, or we're talking, and they, you know, this inner thing of interrupting. And I think God is fine with us interrupting when we're in a situation where we need Him now. I don't think that God gets tired of us in that way. But I think there's a measure here of patience that we also need when we're speaking to God and we want God's ear. We want His ear. And there's a measure of patience we also need. And then He hears us. He hears us. He heard my cry, he says. And I get this picture of someone down in the pit, in the mire, and we found ourselves there, didn't we, one day? We found ourselves there in that pit of sin, that we were mired down with sin and wickedness in our own heart, our own selfishness, and we cried to the Lord. And sometimes that cry was more than a day. Sometimes we cried multiple times to the Lord save me out of this sinful, wretched man that I am. and he heard our cry. Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2 says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear." So there are instances, we're still thinking about what does it take for God to hear us. There are instances where we find even examples of the children of Israel when they had turned back to idols. Isaiah was writing this, and this would have been about the time or just before the time when they were carried as captives into Babylon. When Isaiah was prophesying, I think Jeremiah was prophesying in the time just a little bit before and then also during the captivity in Babylon. And so here was Isaiah prophesying these things, and he says the reason that God is not hearing is because your sins, your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. So there needs to be a cleansing, a purifying of our heart in approaching God, and that we have God's ear when we're free in our own heart and he's made all that provision available for us. That we can be forgiven and cleansed of our sin. And I don't think that means that when we come as a sinner before God, and in fact it shows us that how God's heart is, when we come as a sinner before God, if we just take this verse, we would never be saved because God would never hear us. Because when we come to God initially like that as a sinner, God hears us. But it's because we're in a repentant mode. We're saying, "God, I have sinned. And I come to you that way." You see, that's a turned heart. That's a heart that's coming in truth. And God responds to that. He opens up his heart and his ear to us in that. Psalm 66, verse 18, a continuation of this very thought. "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." Sometimes we go along in the Christian life and we find that it just seems like my prayer life is just, you ever get down on your knees and you're praying and it just seems like your prayers just go up and bounce off the ceiling. They don't seem like they're going anywhere. You ever had that experience? Well, sometimes that is sin in our life. Sometimes it's because there's an iniquity that I have in my heart that I'm holding there. And sometimes it's unforgiveness towards somebody else. Sometimes it's that I've maybe was harsh. Maybe I was harsh and I haven't cleared it up with my fellow men. You know, there can be all kinds of things that can happen. And sometimes we beat ourselves up with that too. And because sometimes it's not that we have maybe the reason our prayer is hitting the ceiling sometimes is not because of an iniquity in our heart. Well, I'll take that back, because it is an iniquity when we're living in unbelief. And because that will also bring our prayers right down back on our heads, seemingly, and we have unbelief. Unbelief. And it doesn't, "He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him." I was just reminded, just as I was saying that, I was reminded of us being in Israel, and we were there at the Weeping Wall there in Jerusalem, where a lot of Jews will still come there and pray at this wall. And I'm not sure what all they're praying for, but they have this little thing going on there that, you know, there's these rocks, big rocks, and this wall is tall. It's much higher than these walls. And big rocks, you know, and stuff. And we saw this one man there that he was very earnest. He was very earnest in his prayers. And they would write these petitions on papers, and then they would try to throw them up there, you know, attach a little rock or something up there, you know, to throw these things up into the cracks of the stones. And this one man, he was really earnest, and he tried to throw it up in there, and it just wouldn't stay. It would fall back down. He'd pick it up again, throw it up there again, and just on and on. He didn't give up. And finally, he was knocking some other people's prayers down, and it was kind of amusing almost to watch, you know, knowing that I don't know what all he was thinking, but I think he was totally sincere in what he was thinking, and he was desperately wanting his prayers to be heard by God, and he wanted his prayers to be up there in the wall. And anyway, I'm not sure why I'm saying all that, but you know, it's just. Interesting. How earnest are we in our prayer life, in God hearing us? Proverbs 21:13. What does it take for God to hear us? In Proverbs 21:13, he says, "Whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard." So that's a pretty sobering word as we think about us and our response to those who are poor, those who are in need. You know, do we just turn our face? We want to live our life. We have our own life to live, and we just neglect the poor in that way. He says, if we do that, then our cry is also not going to be heard when we cry to the Lord. So having a compassion for the poor. There's another verse in James chapter 5. In James chapter 5, he says this. He says in verse 4, "Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth. And the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth." Now, here we have a different scenario. Here we have somebody that has hired somebody else, and they are reaping your fields, but you're keeping back what belongs to them. As an employer, you keep back from them what really it's not of. You're not giving them a fair wage or a fair, maybe there's other things, but you're keeping things back because of your own selfishness. That enters into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. That enters into God's ears. And he doesn't look well upon that. Let's think about that as employers, especially, that we give them a fair wage. And I know there's a lot of variations in all of that, but what's in our heart? I think God looks there and he says, you know, what's really in there? Are you just being selfish and retaining this for yourself? May God help us that we would be of those who give our laborers that which they're worthy of. In John 15, verse 7, he says, "If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." Well, that's an amazing verse. Abiding in Christ. If ye abide in me, and I abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will. You know, when we ask from that standpoint of abiding in Christ and he abiding in us, we're not going to be asking for these selfish things for ourselves, but we're going to be asking things that pertain to God. And God says, I'm going to hear that. I'm going to hear that. You're going to have it. And in closing, another verse in 1 John 5, verse 14 and 15. I like these verses. He says, "This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him." Well, this morning, I'd just like to encourage us that God has ears, and he's hearing. He's listening. There are things that we can do that open his ears. If you feel like you're not being heard by God, Let's check our own hearts to see whether there's some iniquity that we're regarding in our hearts. Or maybe there's other areas that we're selfish in. Or maybe we just need that patience to wait patiently for the Lord. And there's so many other verses that we could go to. But I'd just like to encourage us this morning that God has ears and that He wants His children to come talking to Him. Listening. He's listening. There's verses that talk about Him bending His ear to us. Let's be encouraged with that. God wants to hear from us. Lord bless each of you.